Praise the Lord. You want to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2:13 this morning. I'm not too sure where we're going. I'm not too sure exactly what we're going to do this morning. This is not how I like to roll. I'm a little bit of a structured person. But this week has not allowed me to really prepare anything. So midnight last night, I just put a couple of points down. So we'll see where we go. Amen. I feel a little bit nervous about it. It's not usually how I roll. Praise God. Maybe this is why I've got this. Maybe I might just hand this around today. We'll just wait and see. We'll get all the mums to preach. 2 Timothy 2:13. I'm not sure exactly what your version you have says, but my one says this. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. And I want to sort of touch around this today a little bit, and that's just the faithfulness of God, how amazing our God is and how interested our God is in our lives. You know, I've got every reason when I look back on my past that God would have rejected me and he would have walked away. But we know that's not his nature. We know he's a God of love. He's a God of long suffering. Praise God for that. He had to be with me. He's a God of peace. And he's just such a faithful God. And you guys know I recently just went over to NZ, and I'll probably share a little bit on that just soon. And I was just astounded because it really brought to light the faithfulness of God. And can I just say that there's a little saying, a couple of sayings I heard this week, and one of them was this, and it really impacted me, and it says that your setback is your setup. So you might have a setback at the moment, Lisa, but it's God setting you up for what he has to come. Amen. And I look at my own life, and there's been setbacks, there's been drugs, there's been all sorts of stuff, but God was setting me up. And because of it, there was opportunity to speak to those types of people just the other week. And I look in this room, and there's so many that aren't here. And I can look and I can just see how we've all been through stuff. We all have a testimony. And I can't help but look and think, you know, our setback has been God set up. We didn't even know we were getting set up, but God knew. And it's like that illustration you've probably heard of the tapestry, where on the back of the tapestry, it's like a big mess of wool. And we can't make sense of life sometimes. We can't make sense of the circumstances. We look and sometimes everything just seems like a mess. It's the back of the tapestry. But then what God sees is the other side, is the beautiful picture that he's creating. And he understands how everything links together, how everything works, and how it's just so intricately woven by his love in our lives. And we just see the mess. And so it just hits us in the face about how faithful and how loving our God is and how we need to come to a place of just trusting him regardless of what we see. We can look today and look negatively, a lot of empty seats. Or we can know what God's word declares for us. Amen. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And so it's encouraging to know that this is who our God is and this is how he functions. And I'll give you one story. Sharon was going to share part of this when, I mean, everybody knows here our boy Levi, Justice and Levi. And Levi was born with Down syndrome. Trisomy 21, they call it. And people looked at that as a setback. But I'm telling you, God has set up a lot of things for us because of our boys. Opportunities to pray. In the intensive care, praying for mums, praying for babies. The amount of people that Levi and Evan today, it's hard to get him away. He's up there hugging Mel. You know, he was up there with Carol. He walks to different people in the church. He goes around and he hugs people and he loves on people. And it does something. And we've had all this feedback back from them. And you know, what we have done for our children, and when we first raised our children, our eldest son and our daughter, you know, we've probably done things a little bit wrong. And I may have shared this before, because it says to bring up a child in the way they should go and they shall not depart from it. And somehow we get so stuck on bringing them up so they know the word. And that's the main part, absolutely. But they also need to know how to pray, and they also need to know how to worship. and in the home, we're very good at sharing the word with them and reading Bible stories and doing that sort of thing, but we forget to pray with them and we forget to have worship time as a family. And so one thing we do with our boys is we pray with them, and each night we say to them, who are we going to pray for tonight? And a lot of times they mention you guys. They will say names. And we're praying for, I want to pray for the people in the church. So we'll pray for the church, and it's come from our kids. Or they'll mention specific people. And it just blesses us. And then quite often at night I'll pull the guitar out, and it's like, come on, let's do some worship. And we'll sing some songs and we'll have some worship. And because it's not about just learning them learning the word of God. They also need to know that they'll worship him and reverence him and give him praise because he's worthy to be praised. They also need to know that their weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. So they need to know how to appropriate prayer and how to pray for the sick. And we had a guy yesterday, this whole week has been phone calls where I've just been, choom, out the door, and that's my day gone. And God is just so faithful. Yesterday we had Jeff Tarzi, who some of you may know, who's from Papua New Guinea. He's in Jakarta at the moment, and he's looking to come back in a year or so, if not sooner, to join again, because they're a part of this church. They've been gone for nearly 10 years. And I got a surprise phone call. I'm in town. I'm coming to see you. And so we spent some time with him, and at the end of the night, it's like, let's pray. And our kids are like, we want to pray for Jeff. And they run up, and the whole time, they've got their hands on him, and they're praying. And it blesses me how, if we're faithful and being diligent in these things, and this is just an example to our children, you will see the fruit of it and the evidence of it, and it will bless you. Sometimes we sow and we sow and we sow, and we don't see the fruit of what we're sowing. But there's times when God shows us and reveals it to us, and it blesses us. I got a phone call from my neighbor Saturday morning. I was about to go into the office to prepare a message again. And I get a phone call, and our neighbors, they run a cafe. Pray for them, they want to be here. But she's looking for staff so it can free her up on a Sunday. There'll be five more people that would come, thereabouts. Anyway, they ring me up and say, quick, come down here, there's a lady that needs to speak to you. And so I'm like, hair sticking up like Krusty the Clown. I've just had, you know, I've just woken up, I've just had my first coffee, I so much wanted to just say, look, I'm sorry. It's not very convenient. But you see, there's a cost involved with the Lord. And sometimes it's not what you want and it's not how you want. And so I went down there and sitting outside in the back driveway, and I'm talking to this lady, and they have known her for a few years. And I talked for an hour or so, and she's going through some tough stuff. And it's just amazing how God puts the words in your mouth. And anyway, I led it to the Lord. And it was so exciting for me, because sometimes you're so busy sowing and sowing and sowing. And I said to Nico, I said, you know, you guys have run the hard yards. And like a football game, you've passed the ball, you've done all this. And then at the very end, you've passed it to me, and I've just scored the try. And it was so good, because it takes a team, and it takes a body, and it takes an effort. And that lady, so pray for Tracy and Nico, because if they were here, that lady would be here today. And so we need to pray that God's going to free them up so they can be a part of this. And so God is so good. And I got home, and I'm like a big crybaby when it comes to people getting saved these days. And it really blessed me. And I came to walk in the door, and I just lost it. And I was just walking and crying, because God is so faithful. And this lady's been all through this stuff, but God is so faithful. And he will cause circumstances, he will cause whatever it's going to take that man might be saved. You know, even if it's 20 years, it doesn't matter. He will do what he needs to do that man might be saved. And this is the faithfulness of God. Amen. We might not be faithful. We might be faithless, but it says in that scripture, he remains faithful. And it just blessed me. It just so blessed me. And you know, my mum, this is my mum here. I'll just sit down with my mum for a minute. She's a good mum, this mum. And I love her so much, but you know, she went through some tough stuff in her life, and she's been through some tough stuff. And I'll be right to say that in 2008, my dad passed away. And that was hard, wasn't it, Mum? It was very hard. And I watched my mum go through a season where she had to find herself, who she was. You know, she went through a season of, you know, supporting and helping Dad so much because she loved him so much. But then she came to a point where she had to stand differently and almost reinvent yourself in some way. But you know what I've seen and what I've watched? I have seen that this setback has set Mum up now. Now she's running the women's meeting. Now she's standing strong. Now she's speaking to ladies. Now she's praying like she's never prayed before. Now she's doing stuff that I can't believe. And even to the point she's taken up golf. And then she's like, you know what? I'm not going to go to a Christian golf club because there's a Christian group of ladies. She goes, I want to go where the unsaved are. And I'm like, this is my mum. So even though they'd be negative things, God uses them for good, amen. And I can look around all this room, you know, even my mate Joel here. He's out there in the bush in Emerald. He doesn't want me to pick on him this morning, but. And he's wondering what on earth's going on. And he said to me, I remember him telling me, if there's one city on my list, I made a list and I got before the Lord because I knew he was telling me to leave. And this is as best as I can remember it, so it might be a little bit wrong. And he said, the last place on my list that I wanted to go was Brisbane. And where is he? Brisbane. And there's a lot of questions, wondering exactly what God's going to do and the things ahead and what God has planned and purposed. But you see, it seemed like a setback, but God's setting them up. He doesn't quite know it yet, but he's getting set up real good by the Lord because God's got a purpose, amen? Because everyone has a ministry and everyone is called, hallelujah. Because we're planned and purposed for a time such as this that he might be glorified in our lives. It's not about me as a pastor because God's called me to this, but he's called all of us as ambassadors for the kingdom of God. And it's not about coming here on a Sunday, it's actually for outside these walls because there's many that are out there that need the Lord and he's given you the answers and he's given you the keys. Hallelujah. And as if we're diligent, God will bless. If we're diligent in the small things. And you know, our boys the other day, we had the prayer meeting in our house. And so, okay, it means you've got to clean up a little bit. You've got to vacuum. You've got to put some chairs out. There's a little bit of a cost involved. But you see, when you're just diligent and faithful and having what you have and providing what you have for his use, because we're not owners, we're just stewards, there's blessing. And the blessing for us is that the other day, Justice starts putting, they've got a chair and tables and they've got these little chairs. And he starts putting the chairs around the room. And I said, what are you doing, Justice? And he goes, oh, I'm setting up for a prayer meeting. And I thought, oh, wow, this is great. And then he's like, Levi, come to the prayer meeting. And they go into the front lounge and he's like, Dad, come on, come into the prayer meeting. So I come into the prayer meeting. And he's a bit like his father because Levi starts moving the chairs and Justice gets upset. That's come from my dad, right, by the way. And so you can see all these things because there's a heritage, you know, in the Lord. And sometimes it filters down and we have a DNA and we have a culture. So what we do in this church ends up permeating in our lives, right? And we see them. You might get like that too one day. Well, maybe that's a cursing, not a blessing. Anyway. So then it's like, well, what will we do, Justice? Will we sing a song? He's like, yes, let's sing a song. So we start singing a song and they're jumping around and dancing and it's like, all right, should we pray now? And he's like, yes, let's pray. And what will we pray for? And I think the first thing he said was, you, Lisa. He said, let's pray for Lisa. And so we were there on, was it Thursday? Friday night, youth was on and we're praying for Lisa. Then we prayed for the church. Then we prayed for something else. And we prayed for a few things. And I'm thinking, man, this prayer meeting's going on for a while. And I said, oh, is the prayer meeting finished, Justice? And he goes, no, it's not finished yet. I thought, oh, okay, yes, sir. But you see, it blessed me. But it's what you sow, you see. And God is faithful. We may not always see the fruit. We may not always see the evidence, but never doubt that God's doing the work. Amen. He's always doing the work. And the great thing about church is we have diversity. We have different people. We have different cultures. We have different ages, because otherwise church would just be boring. And church is not meant to be traditional. It's meant to be fun. And people don't like to say that in church. This is not meant to be a place that is boring. This is meant to be a place of life. Amen. Where we can celebrate what God is doing. In fact, before I forget, I spoke to Justin the other day from the Philippines. For those who don't know, he's an itinerant minister out of this church. And the first outreach they did, they got 20 people saved. And then they did the main outreach the other night, and they got 40 people saved. You know, and I just thank the Lord for that. Because we're a part of that, because we've been praying and we've been believing for God to do a work. And so it's not just to sit back and go, well, that's great. It's like, no, we're actually a part of this. If we're linking arms and standing together, then we're praying together and we're believing together and we're helping one another. Amen. Because we're a multi-stranded cord that is not easily broken. You know, and this is something we've got to get good at in this church. And that's loving one another, having fellowship with one another, getting beside one another. It's not about cliquey groups. It's about us loving one another because we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, and this is His church, and this is where God has called us to be. Therefore, we got to get the headspace right and learn to accept one another and extend grace to one another. Amen. I'm telling you, it's powerful. That's why it's such a difficult thing where God says, where there is unity, I command a blessing. I was saying this to Andrew and Bronnie this week. We got every culture and every race and every age, and God puts us together in the one place and says, right, now get along. It's the only place in the world you see it, in church. And then He says, and if you can do that, then that's where I'll command the blessing. Hallelujah. Matthew 22:32, if you want to quickly turn there. Gosh, I might run out of time. I didn't know that was going to happen. Just something I heard that blessed me, and it's looking at something in a slightly different way, because when we read this, a lot of times what is taught out of it is covenant. And it simply says this, it says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And we see there, we've heard this many times, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. We know Abraham is the father, right? Seen as the father. Isaac was his son. And so we see that God's a God of the generations. Hallelujah. He's interested in your family. He's interested in your mum and your dad and your cousins and your uncles. He's a God of families. He puts us into church that we might assimilate and be part of the family. We come from a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light, and we are adopted into His kingdom. We are called sons by way of adoption because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is family. It's always been family. Hallelujah. And then He uses the name Jacob, which is interesting because it means supplanter or heel tripper, to trip you up, to grab your ankle. And we know that's how he was born, with his brother Esau, holding on to his ankle, if I remember rightly. And so Jacob was his former name. It was changed by God to Israel. Yet God doesn't use that name, because his name was changed to Israel. He still uses and refers to the name Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's very interesting because we see the faithfulness of God in this. And maybe I'm reading between the lines a little bit, but there's something here that blesses me. Because He's the God of the beginning, Jacob, and He's also the God of the end, Israel. So He's the God over all, amen. He's the God of your past. He's the God of your future. He is still the God in your wilderness. He's the God in your desert. You may be struggling. You know, you might not have even reached your potential, right? And I heard something along these lines this week that blessed me, and this is why I'm sharing it with you. Because you might not have reached your potential. You might not even be walking in who God has called you to be. But it doesn't change the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord over all. And He remains God, and He is faithful and true. And it's not how things start, but rather how they end. I didn't start well, but I'm going to end well. Amen. remembering that you'll set back as God set up. Now, 2 weeks ago, I think it was now, I had a friend that I haven't seen for 25 years. I've known since I was 7 years old. And when I grew up in New Zealand, I grew up with some of the worst people. Some of the toughest people. Knew some of the meanest people, I guess you would say. Hardcore people. And I just got put into that school, and that's who I grew up with. And that's who I got to know, and that's who I hung around with. Just like we could have been born in Afghanistan, we could have been born in Iran, we could have been born anywhere. But we're born where we're born. And God places us where we are for a reason. We're not here by accident today. And it was interesting, a friend of mine, his name is Dean in New Zealand, and his sister Facebook friended me 2 weeks prior or a week prior, and then I saw a testimony that this guy Dean, my old mate, was giving a testimony in a church, and after 25 years of being in the world, 20 years on crack, 20 years on drugs, he was giving a testimony. And it was just amazing because I saw that and I just cried like a baby. I wept and I sobbed because I knew the people he hung around. I knew the people he walked with. And here's a guy that I knew from such a young age in primary school. And here he is giving a testimony of the goodness of God, of what God's done in his life. And his parents, we'd known the parents, and Sharon's good friends of his sister and knows the parents. And it just overwhelmed me that, you know, we'd heard stories over the years and that they've had all this heartache as parents believing for their son and for their kids. And yet here we see that now all of heaven is celebrating and the parents are rejoicing because the son that was lost is now found. And I just sobbed, and Sharon said, you need to go over there to support him. And I think it was the next day I was on the flight and I was gone. And it was amazing. I haven't seen him for 25 years, and it was like a day he hadn't left. We just hung out together. We laughed. We talked about the Lord. He'd also been done for 2.5 kilos in France of drug smuggling and was locked up for a few years in France. And went through some tough stuff there because 80% of that prison were Muslims and they didn't like them. So that's a whole other story, but God was so faithful. And I got to the airport and I just cried when I saw him. And we just hugged. And it was so nostalgic and so overwhelming. And then he gave his testimony. And actually the night before he gave his testimony, me and Sharon were FaceTiming, we were praying for him. And I said, hang on a second, I'll go get him. And we brought him into the room and we prayed for him the night before he gave his testimony. And then we were actually able to pray for him that he might be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was filled in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and there was just a release for him, and it was just amazing. And the next morning he woke up and goes, man, I feel so different. And he gave his testimony, and the pastor of that church got me to sit up on the stage with him and asked me a question, and then five people got saved. And Ronald and Kim were there, and it was just a powerful time, and it was just such a blessing for me. And I ended up just crying because it was, and I said to him, I said, Dean, you've been through all this heartache. You've been believing, your parents have been believing God for so long. Things have been difficult in your life, but I said, this is God's testimony now for his glory, and this is what you're going to see, the fruit of what's happened in your life. And it's not to glorify the bad stuff he's done. There was a setback, but God set him up now with a testimony to reach all these ones that we can't touch, that we don't have an audience with. And these are hard guys. These are fighters. These are guys that have been through some heavy-duty things. And I said to Cheryl, I know one day the Lord's taking me back to witness to my friends. And that's exactly what's happened. And there's still some more to do. There's another guy who's locked up in prison that I need to go and see. And it might just be that I'm the only one that can get in because the others can't because of criminal records. And so I'm excited about that, just believing for God's timing there. And that guy in the prison, he's, from what I've heard, he's like the kingpin. And so the influence he has is over that prison. So any Samoan, so they're brought up with godly heritage, so they know. They just need someone to tell them and take them to that place of decision. And I'm excited about going there and doing that again. You know, again. And then the pastor that spoke when we were over there, Pastor John and Yvonne Walton, were the pastors that were influential in leading mum and dad to the Lord. And they were my first pastor and Kim's first pastor. Is that right? Yeah. And so they shared a message. And it was just so nostalgic to go back after all these years. And God was doing all this stuff. And these guys, they kept me up till 3 a.m. every night I was there, just talking about the Lord. Talking about the Lord, asking question after question and praying with them and laughing. And then we went to go, I said, went to visit a friend. In fact, maybe you can, is there a couple of pics there? Here's a couple of pics, just so you understand who I'm talking about here. Okay, here's the story. These two guys here, we used to go, the guy in the brown shirt, Mark, we used to go around to his house with the drugs. He had the flat. And Mark Satali on the right, he was just a staunch dude. And we used to go around there and hang out with him and get up to mischief. And I said to Dean, I said, I want to go see Mark and I want to tell him about the Lord. I need to tell him about the Lord. And so we went round there, and unbeknown to us, they hadn't seen each other for 9 months, and the guy in the light shirt, he arrived 10 minutes before we arrived. It was just a God appointment. And we gave them the gospel good and proper. And I tell you, they... the Samoan guy, he knows because they brought up with it. He had his head like this, and he was just... And he shook Dean's hand. He said, you've saved your life, mate. And Dean said, I'm going to rehab tomorrow. 3 months, I'll be out. And I'll come around, I'll take you to church. And they're like, oh, okay. The other guy, he'd never heard anything to do with the Lord before, and we talked about how do you know what is the counterfeit, and how do you know what is true, and how do you know this, and how do you know that, and talked about spirits and demons, and you name it, and he went through nearly every emotion. He's like, wow, you're making me really, really think. And he was overwhelmed, but it all made sense, and I'm telling you, he is prime, and I believe when Dean gets out, he's going to get him saved. And so it was just such a blessing for me to go back out of all these friends, and I know like you guys have got your friends, and others know people in the workplace and all that, and we just got to believe that God's doing a work, that there's a time and that we can speak to them, amen, because we have the answers. And it's not about just sharing all the stuff about who these people were, it's about who they're going to become because of what God has done, amen. And so we're glorifying Jesus in this, hallelujah. There's another pic there. So there's Dean on the right, he's the one who got saved. And that's Ollie, and spent a lot of time with them. And they were, in fact, I used to be best friends of Ollie's brother, but he unfortunately hung himself years ago. But these guys are, we're not going to go into all of that. They are hardcore fighters that have influence into gangs, into people, and you name it. And it's just amazing because God's now got a hand on their life to go and touch many people. And God's getting impacting at the moment from what I'm hearing and seeing. There's a lot of people that are getting coming to the Lord that never could come to the Lord, that never thought about it before, but God's starting to bring them in. He's starting to put people in positions, into place, because he's going to do a work. Amen. He's moving people from states and from countries. Justin came from Melbourne to join the church. You know, you guys have just moved from the US. You know, God's actually moving people around because he's got a plan. He has got a plan and a purpose, and it's in God. It's not our plan, it's his. Amen. We've got another one there. I think there might be one more. This is the Pastor John, our first pastor. He must be in his 80s now. And he got up after the testimony and he said, well, that's it for me. I'm just throwing my message away. And he just started talking. And it was just a great, great time, wasn't it, Kim? Ronald, just powerful, powerful. And Dean was, we're worshiping, and Dean looks to me, tears falling down his face, and he goes, it's so good to cry. He goes, it's so good to cry. I haven't been able to cry for 20 years. I used to try and make myself cry, and I couldn't cry. And you see, this is where our environment can shape us. And I said to Sharon, I grew up around these guys, and I saw a lot of things that were pretty hard, and it hardened me. And I used to, Sharon used to cry out for the lost, and she'd be weeping for souls, weeping and crying out. And I just went in that place. And I knew that there was something in my own heart that wasn't right before the Lord. And so I started saying, Lord, you need to change my heart. Because this heart is not like your heart. I should be concerned about those who don't know you, and I should be concerned about those that are unloved, and I should be concerned about those who are broken, that those who are lost, that those who are homeless, that those, you know, I was naked, did you clothe me? I was hungry, did you feed me? I was in prison, did you visit me? All this sort of stuff. This is the commission that God's given us. And I realized that my heart wasn't there. And so I began to cry out to God, and maybe you're in that place too, and you need to begin to cry out to God, because God has changed my heart. And now when I heard about the three youth that got saved, when I heard about the ones overseas, this one on Saturday, what happens is it breaks my heart, and I start weeping before the Lord for joy, because He's faithful. And I see my friends and the ones that I've associated with, and it wasn't by choice, it was just the way I grew up. And I see them coming to the Lord now, and the warriors for God. And it does something in my heart, because God's changed the heart. He says He takes the heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. Amen. That's what He does. Is that all of them? And that's Dean with his son Wairangi, and just hanging out at his house. And it was amazing that guys we witnessed to that were unsaved. Dean said, you know what, I just received Jesus into my life and everything's different. And life is so good. And they sat there, these two guys, and they said, we can see it. You look different. We can see it on you. Isn't that amazing? That when God takes a hold of your life, there's a light that shines that people see and they catch without you even saying anything. They can notice it. Hallelujah. And so the challenge for us, if you can just put that picture of the tabernacle up, and I'll just be very quick here. I don't want to spend too much time, much more time. How many of us know about the tabernacle, have seen the tabernacle, have heard of the tabernacle of Moses in the Old Testament? We know something about that. Some of us do. The Old Testament has types and shadows, and has an outworking into the New Testament. And this was a place of sacrifice where they used to bring the offerings, and they would sacrifice, and then once a year, can you bring a pointer up? Just so I can use the laser pointer. Is that there? And they would bring the offerings in and make sacrifice and atonement for their sins. And once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, the little place on the end, and they would put the blood on the mercy seat. And that was where the presence of God abided. And the tribes of Israel, they encamped around the tabernacle. So that's, in a very, very vague general nutshell, that's what the tabernacle was about. Thanks, mate. Okay. So I just want to share something with us this morning, and I have shared something similar to this before in relation to light and to our walk, because this is the challenge this morning. Is that you see this part here, it's called the outer court. And so this part was to do with sin. It was to do with the atonement for sin, the sacrifice of animals to atone for our sin. We know that as Jesus Christ has done that once and for all, right? So that's the Old Testament picture. Now, the light in the outer court is natural light. There's no covering there. It's just there's one gate in, just like there's one way to Jesus Christ. There's only one way. There's walls all the way around, but these walls are open. They're only however high they are. I can't remember. And this is a covered tent, if you like, this area here. Can you see that pointer and you can follow me with that? Or did I lose you? Lost you a little bit? Anyway, the outer court. Yeah, thanks, Luke. You want a little game of Tiggy? I could have a... So the outer court is... it represents natural light. The light that is in that place is the natural light. It's the sun, the moon, the natural light, the stars, right? And it talks about carnal man, the reasoning, our understanding, our revelation, our wisdom, our self. It's talking about that. A lot of people, that's where they live because it's about them. But God said it's never about you, because he said it's not I that live, but Christ that lives. So that's the outer court, and the light in that place is natural light. Then you come through, and you see the red dot coming through this curtain into what is called the holy place. In the holy place, there is the golden lampstand, or the menorah. There is a table of showbread, and there is the altar of incense. And each of these things represents something. You know, there was 12 loaves of bread on this table, and the priests were able to partake of it. The wicks had to be trimmed, and the oil was filled so this light would shine all the time. And this was representative of prayer that went up. And we see here that the light that was in this place was the menorah, the candlestick. And also, it's now undercover. It's undercovering. And it's interesting, when you understand the candlestick, it represents Christ as the light of the world, that he shines his light upon his word. It illuminates. He's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, right? It's no longer natural light. It's his word. And so we live by the instruction of God's word. We live by the leading of God. We live by the way he wants us to live. There's principles. But the issue we have here is that this is what happens in our lives. We might do, you know, walk by God a little bit. You see these different elements here. We might feast on him a little bit. We might pray a little bit. You see, there's different elements here where we partake of him how we want to. And it's so true. Most Christians live their life there where they take what they want from God, and they function how they want by God. And when there's a massive circumstance in their life, they might just hang around this part here, the altar of incense, instead of getting on their knees and allowing the Lord to lead them and shine his light to give them direction, which might be contrary to their thinking, because God always leads you by his word. So the light in that place is not natural light, it's the light of his word. But this is not the place that God wants us to dwell in our lives. He wants us to move into the Holy of Holies. Now the light in this place is the presence of God. And it incorporates all these things, all of them. He is the sacrifice. He is the light. He's making intercession for the saints day and night. He is the bread of life. Amen. It's Jesus Christ. And so he wants us to live by his light, that he alone would lead us, that we can lean on him, that we're not just going to have elements when that we pick and choose to suit us. But we're actually going to come and say, Lord, I just want you. It's all about you. Let your light so shine in my life. Let my wisdom not lead me, but let it be your wisdom, and every word that proceeds from my mouth be your word. For life and death from the power of the tongue, and they that eat the fruit thereof, right? Allow you to come and take over my life and be God in my life. Do you see the difference here? And so even though this is just a little illustration, may not have seen before, we see just by looking at light, there's carnal light, there's the light of his word, or there's the presence of God, which is the word of God itself, that we would live in that place. So this is the challenge that the Lord puts to us today, that, you know, we're not to stay where we are. We're to press in to God, because he has so much more for your lives and so much more for his church. Amen.